Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Jared Padalecki.
And this is Jensen Ackles.
And you're listening to Winchester Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to tonight's Winchester Radio. We're very excited because we have a special guest tonight, Brianna Buckmaster, who plays Sheriff Donna, has returned to the show for the third time, her third episode. We're going to start talking to her in 1 second. Since she is a guest tonight, we will not be taking call-ins. I will announce that number a little bit later on when we talk about the episode itself as part of our regular discussion. If you would like to tweet us questions for Brianna, please do at Winchester Bros on Twitter. That's it. Welcome, Brianna. We're so excited to
have
you.
Hi, you guys.
Thank you
so
much.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm trying to tweet at the same time, which will be really tricky, but I'm up for the challenge.
Yes, we're happy. We're happy to have you on, and we were just talking that we're very happy that Sheriff Donna survived her third episode and apparently is a hunter now. So congratulations.
Yay!
Maybe.
I'm carrying my cat right now. I'm getting so excited.
Oh, kitties.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. You know what's funny is that we always, when we read the scripts, especially women, we say this at the conventions, Kim and I, we always read the scripts and go straight to the back to make sure there's still dialogue for our characters. And when I saw the last scene for my character, I saw that she'd become a hunter. I was like, what's better than that? I mean, it's great. Kind of exactly what you want to happen.
Next time we see Donna, she'll be wearing flannel. She'll have the whole get-up.
Oh, yeah. Right in with everyone, right? Yeah, she'll cut all her hair off.
Now, I want to ask, how did you get the role of Sheriff Donna?
So I live in Vancouver, and I auditioned for it like I auditioned for anything else. I'm fairly new to TV. I have a large background in theater and had just been doing TV for, I think, maybe a year, and auditioned for this small role, which was just for, I think it was 5 scenes. And I remember the breakdown for the role said, a character like Marge from Fargo, but not pregnant. And I was 6 months pregnant at the time. And so I had to hide that. I didn't tell anyone because I really wanted the part. And I remember Phil Segrecio was director on the show, and when we were filming it, especially that scene where I was getting the fat sucked out of my back, I had spent about an hour on my stomach, and he was like, oh, my God, you should have told me. But I hadn't really been showing that much, so I thought it wasn't such a big deal. But Jared and Jensen and I didn't know the massive following that this show had. I know it had been on for a long time. I knew it was shooting in Vancouver for a long time, so I knew that much about it. But every time I had got hired for a part, I just showed up and did my job as best as I could, tried to stay out of everybody's way, and tried to not screw up too much. I just did that. But I quickly realized the boys like to screw around, so I didn't screw around, but I rose to their challenges. I'm sure you can imagine what that meant. But then Phil was just like, where did you come from? What is happening? And then he mentioned to me, he was like, there's another character on this show, another female sheriff. It would be funny to see the two of you together because you're kind of a yin and a yang to each other. And I, in this business, so many people are promising you things. I just thought, I'm just grateful that you're happy with what I'm doing enough to even say that to me. And I never really thought anything else of it. And then lo and behold, I think like 2 months after I'd given birth to my daughter, I get a phone call from my agent saying Supernatural wants you back. Like, I hadn't worked yet other than doing voice work since she had been born. And so I was so excited. And then I got the script, and the script was not only exactly what Phil had pitched to me, it was a massive script for Donna. It told a big backstory for her, and it showed her complexities, her insecurities, her strength, her, you know, her boldness, her relationships with women, with Kim specifically. So it was a really quite amazing script that Jenny Klein wrote with Phil. And it's kind of the ultimate dream, where you just kind of show up and do a good job, and then somebody says, oh no, we want you back. And then what's even better than that is that you guys like her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys can relate to her as much as I can relate to her, which of course makes me relate to all of you. And I guess that's just why it's kind of a perfect puzzle fit. You know,
that's
a really long answer
mm-hmm.
for that question.
Oh, it was an awesome answer. We like long answers.
We love long
answers.
Okay, good. Thank God.
We just said we love
I
long answers.
I tend to ramble. I told you I was going to ramble.
Yes. You talk about relating to Donna. I think out of all the characters that we've had on the show, I relate to Donna more than any other character. You're more like me, you know.
Yeah.
About the same age, about the same shape.
Yep.
We both like donuts,
yep.
you know.
I
love it. I love it.
I like donuts.
Me too. Yeah. No, that's why I was saying, like, it was such an easy role for me to slip into, which is maybe why she fits so well, is that, you
mm-hmm.
know, there's a few differences between me and Donna, but for an actor, especially a woman, to play a role where she gets to really wear her physical insecurities is kind of a gift, because it leaves you really physically open to everything. Yeah, you can see all of my, you know, my bumps and my creases, and I don't wear any makeup and I don't do my hair. And so I don't have to worry about any of that. I don't have to worry about my angles. And I just have to worry about being authentic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a gift, and I really love Donna, and I have a lot in common with her, and I think that's why I play
mm-hmm.
her so easily.
Yeah, it's probably why, like, many Supernatural fans feel the same way. You know, she's like one of us.
Yeah.
Identify with her.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can only hope, like, if you were put in that situation that Donna was, where the supernatural part of the world came out of nowhere. She just got thrust into it and it freaked her out, but she got through it. Like, her training helped her. She got through it and she handled it. She didn't fall apart completely, but I remember her remember you being so disturbed and frightened.
Yes.
Hitting 911, which, you know, it was great, but she still got through it. You know,
mm-hmm.
she hung in there and she figured it out, and she didn't let it get the best of her. And that's great. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, did you do any like research for Donna, or training as Donna, as a sheriff, or like she's from Minnesota
did,
and that kind of thing?
Yeah. The accent I did some research for, as I was mentioning, I'm fascinated by dialects and different dialects and American dialects specifically, because they are actually quite tricky for Canadians because they're so hard to hear, because we hear them so often, especially just watching TV, you know? So I worked on that a little bit. The research I did was tricky because the force and county sheriff is different in the United States than it is in Canada. So I did talk to someone here who works for the RCMP, and he knew a little bit of information about that. For instance, in small towns, sheriffs are sometimes voted on.
as opposed to being hired or brought through the ranks, which I thought was interesting. I thought that was probably exactly the case for Donna. I thought she's probably very popular within the town. And so I like that. And then I did get some shooting training, which was fun.
Where I live here in a small county here in Kentucky, our sheriffs are veterans. Mm-hmm. So, yep.
They are, hey?
Yep, yep.
Yep, it's fascinating. I like it. It's interesting. Anyway, it was just, yeah, it's interesting to learn all about that stuff and have it influence your character.
Can you tell us, was there any difference? Did it feel any different between filming your first episode, The Purge, between filming and then filming this week's episode, Plush? What was it like being on set, in those different times?
Yeah, well, the first episode, like I said, I was just really trying to show up and do a good job, and I didn't know anybody. And so I know what's funny is it's a different thing from theater to TV for me, is that in TV, working in TV, you're kind of the least important person, it is funny, because you are the most prevalent, the most seen by viewers. But I just try to stay out of the way because there's a lot of money, there's a lot of people trying to do their job, and if you screw up a line, if you are standing in the wrong spot, everybody has to start all over again, and it's frustrating. And so I didn't want to be that person. So that's kind of what I was trying to do. The acting, I've been an actor since I was, 18. And so I had done all my research at home. So when I got on set, I didn't have to think too much about it. So the difference between that and the second episode, Hibby 911, is that in the first episode, I had 5 scenes. And in the second episode I had 22 scenes.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was a massive learning curve, as into, hey, now you're going into overtime. This is how you learn. You have to preserve your energy. Because I get riled up and I like to screw around and I love the crew. Like, some of the members of the crew have become really close friends of mine. And, I really like to screw around. And I've learned quickly that you're going to run out of air if you keep doing that. So I would learn to do that. I would learn to go back to my trailer just so I would stay out of trouble. To know that you have a lot of lines. You have to, you probably shoot maybe 4 scenes in one day, and you have to know all of those lines, and you have to be good in all of those scenes because they don't have time to wait for you to be good when you show up. You have to be immediately good. And then going into my third episode, I had all, like I'd mentioned, I'd become friends with people. So I live in Vancouver, which most of the actors don't. And so I would come and visit set, and they'd love that because it'd be refreshing for them, for me to just show up and joke around and, have lunch or something with them. And so by the time I got to my third episode, I felt like I was coming home. Like, I felt like I was coming home to hang out with all my friends. So everything was so comfortable, which actually made my acting better because there was no awareness in it. I wasn't nervous at all. And so I felt really very comfortable in Donna this time. And Donna had taken, she'd been through some stuff, so she'd learned some things. So her character in Plush was a bit more grounded. She wasn't as nervous of a person either. She had a little bit more of a backbone than she did in Hibbing, and she had a little bit more security in her job. She had been asked to do a lot because she's really good at her job. And so I tried to have that influence those scenes a little bit more.
I was sorry Donna didn't get to shoot the bunny, the man with the bunny head.
Oh, yeah, me too.
When he woke up, I was sort of hoping that Donna would get to do that. Doug,
get to do the badass stuff. I know.
Yeah.
Me too. I was like, oh,
next time.
It's weird that she's like, yeah, she got to chop off somebody's head, and then in this episode, she's just like, uh-oh. But I really like the character of Doug, and I think that was there was different motivations behind the writers writing that he saved Donna in a way. I don't know if they have plans for him. I really like Brendan a lot, who played Doug. We had a really good time together. So, of course, I would love to work with him again. But, yeah, of course, it's hard to save the day in one episode and then not save the day in the next episode. But always happy to come back.
Yeah, I think after this episode, everybody's shipping Donna and Doug together. Doug 2. Not the first
yeah.
Doug. Donna and Doug 2.
Oh, I'm sure that I should hope so. That was our goal. He was adorable, and I love our last scene together. And I think he played Doug so earnestly. And, yeah, when we were doing ADR about a week before the show aired, we ran into each other, and we were just watching some of the scenes, you know, doing some more of the dialogue. And we were just like, oh, this is good. This is really good. It's really cute. And we improvised a lot. The camera, I don't know, any of it will end up on the gag reel. Fingers crossed. But we would just, because he wasn't really allowed to do a thick, Donna, in some of the scenes, I put on a bit of a thicker accent for Donna where it will allow. I try to lay off it a bit when there's more story to be told, so it doesn't become the center point. But Tim, who directed it, he wanted my character to have a bit more of an accent because he thought this is a great characteristic of Donna. But he didn't want Doug to have too thick of an accent. But when the scene was done and the dialogue was done and the cameras were still rolling, Brendan and I would just improvise scenes. And, oh, my God, we would talk about going for soup and going to get snow cones. And we would just go and go and go. It was very funny. So I don't know if any of it's going to hit the gag reel, but we had a good time together. We were like, oh, we should YouTube a bunch of this stuff. It was so funny to us. But maybe it wasn't to anybody else. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is the mustache his? I was wondering if the mustache was actually his, because he reminds me a lot. I was wondering if they had him use it as his character, because he looked a lot like Porn Stash in Orange is the New Black. So
I was just wondering about that. The mustache, no, he didn't usually have it. I think they asked him to grow it. And he actually ended up booking a bunch of commercial work after he grew it, because he had such like that kind of like dad look about him.
Right.
Very funny. But he doesn't usually have a mustache. I think actually in the breakdown, it said that they wanted him to have the character was like, the look of the character was loosely based on Dewey from Scream.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah, David
yeah.
Arquette.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is a little bit more of a throwback. But, yeah, I think it's dashes and small-town police officers go hand in hand.
He looks super tall.
He is pretty tall. Yeah, he's quite tall, which was really fun. I think that was one of the first things the ladies in fitting said to me, because I was very excited to meet him. And they're like, he's super tall. People kept saying that. And he was very, very tall, which I thought was great.
Yeah, it looked like even Jared had to look up a tiny bit, which
maybe
is unusual.
You know what? I don't know. Both Jared and Jensen seem pretty tall for me, because actors are usually quite short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like, yeah, I'm running on the taller side for actors, and I'm only 5'6".
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's very tall. He's very tall.
I was wondering, Donna she has some good homespun phrases, you know, what the cuss, you know, and all this. My favorite, I think, after rewatching Plush for a few times for the podcast, is probably Tater Tots and Lemon Drops. I'm going to be using that all the time, I think.
It's all Tater Tots and Lemon Drops, yeah.
I love that. What is your favorite phrase of Donna's?
I think what the cuss is pretty good, because I've never heard anybody say that. I don't give a flying fudge is pretty good, but I've heard people, you know, reference fudge as opposed to the other option many times. And then, I also like what the H-E double hockey sticks. That's totally, that's such, so something my I would have said when I was a little kid, or that my mom would have said to me when I was a kid. There's so many of them. There's so many. I just love them all. And when they throw me a new one, I just love it. I don't know. There's just, I just love, I wonder if the writers love writing for Donna because they get to say crazy things and they have a, you know, a comedic female character who kind of has different facets to her. So they can, she can be, you know, kind of sassy and badass, like mind your own beeswax to Sam. And then she can be really, really have a really sunny disposition. And so, I don't know, I love it. I think the writers do such a great job of writing dialogue for her. And I get excited when they give me a new one every time.
I would think they would have to, because there's really not been any other characters like Donna on the show. You know, we've had a lot of really great female characters, but there's not really been any like Donna, who's, you know, so homespun and, you know, sweet and yet strong. And I think that's really probably what I really like the best about her.
Yeah, such a great, it's so, I just feel so lucky and so grateful. I actually met Jenny Klein for the first time just in Pasadena at the convention. And we literally, like, she came up to me, we were backstage at the Saturday Night Special, and she was like jumping, we were jumping up and down. We were so excited to meet each other. And I feel so lucky that I get to play Donna. She's got lots of complexities to her, and there's still so much that she's going to do and accomplish with her life and career. And now that she's a hunter, and with her relationship with the boys and with Kim and with Doug, it's just like, yeah, the options are endless in my mind. I don't know who else. I love it.
You and Kim, especially, you know, with filming Hibbing 911, did you know each other before that? You seem to have such a really close friendship, kind of like the female version of J2.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? Kim and I did not meet. We met, I mean, I knew of her, and I followed her on Twitter, and we kind of had, you know, said some fun things to each other via Twitter, but we'd never met. She lives in L.A., and we met on Hibbing, and, you know, we kind of got to know each other as quickly as you can in 8 days. But, oh, my gosh, did we ever hit it off. We'd laugh so hard. But Kim is she's a tough cookie, and she's also one of the most loyal, generous, kind people I've ever met in my life. And there's just, like, there's no falsehood to her. She is who she is, and she'll let you know that, and I find that so refreshing. She, over the last year, I mean, we only met, can you believe it, a year ago, and she's become one of my closest friends. Yeah, we were just chatting last night, and we were talking about me coming to Los Angeles to pursue different things. It's never kind of really been on my radar until people started approaching me, you know, and I said, oh, I have such a young child, and, you know, I have roots in Vancouver. It'd be so hard. And she's like, no, you will always come stay with me. You have no other option. You will always stay with me. And she's just so, yeah, generous and honest, and she's a brilliant, brilliant woman. And I feel very lucky that I get to know her and work with her and take over the world. We are always plotting to do that, always plotting to take over the world.
It's so cool how Supernatural has brought so many friends together, so many fans together, but not just fans, but cast. We find out, like, cast members like you and Kim and so many others are just good
even
friends.
Like,
it's
through
really
the
cool
conventions I've met, when we all went to London last month, was that last month? I guess, holy smokes. I met Osric. I guess I didn't meet him for the first time. It's the first time we hung out together, and we went to, like, Osric and Tyler Johnson, we went to a play into a movie, and we were all kind of together in one tiny little hotel, and it was like summer camp. And we all got to hang out. We were exhausted and jet lagged. We laughed so hard at things, and Chad Lindbergh and Adam Rose. And we became really close, and I'm sad that I don't have access to those people on a daily basis because they're friends of mine. And even I'm going to Australia, I think, like next week or the week after with Rich, Rob, and Matt. And they've become like brothers to me because of the conventions. And they live in L.A., and I said, oh, I'm here and such a long flight. I wish I was coming with you. And Rich is like, no, you're coming with us. So now I'm flying to LA getting on their flight so that we can all take a flight together. Cause it's just more fun. We just have such a good time together.
Right?
And it's so wild that I have to come home after those conventions and you're like, where's my friends? All my friends, they live so far away. So it is really a blessing. I've met some of the coolest people in the world because of those conventions.
What did you know about the conventions before you started going to them? Had you been, quote unquote, warned about the conventions or anything like that?
Well, I have been warned, but Jensen was like, this is the coolest thing on the face of the planet. And he would show me pictures of, and people dressed up like, dressed up like the Impala and stuff like that. And I'd heard of Star Trek conventions, but I'd never experienced one. And I think it's definitely to that level, from what I can imagine anyway. But the boys, they love the conventions. They speak very highly of them. And the boys, I think, really wanted me to do the conventions because they thought it was right up my alley, which it is. Nobody likes to do karaoke more than me. And the fact that it's like part of my contract, all my friends think it's hysterical because they know how much I love karaoke. And I'm extremely extroverted. I have no shame. I'm an open book. You can ask me anything. And that's what's so great about the conventions. The panels don't make me nervous. They're my favorite thing in the world. I just love hearing the questions people have. And they honestly could not be more fun. I just love them. The only thing that's I struggle with is the traveling. It's a lot of travel, but I think of it as an opportunity. I get to travel,
Mm-hmm. I was at VanCon in August, and I was so disappointed that you weren't signed on as a guest. But I was so excited when you showed up for karaoke that night and Arrested
totally.
Rob. That I was like, hey, yay, she's here! It was awesome.
Yay.
And,
yeah.
I'm going to Nashville in February, so I'll finally actually get to actually meet you. So I'm very excited.
Yay!
About that.
I can't wait.
What has been your favorite convention moment so far?
Favorite convention moment. I think my first, oh God, there's so many of them. My first panel with Kim was pretty amazing because I just wasn't prepared for the amount of people that would be there. I honestly thought I would see maybe 75 people. I had no idea who was coming to listen to me speak.
Oh, no.
So I was shocked. I was shocked at how many people were there. And I loved the first time I sang with Loudon Swain. That was pretty exciting because it was also a big concert that night, I think. I remember Misha saying it was their biggest crowd they'd had yet in the convention circuit. So that also made me very nervous. I really liked singing with Osric in the last convention. That was pretty special. He and I talked briefly right before we went on stage in the hallway about what the song meant to him. And because I was asked in the middle of the night to sing that song with him, and my answers are always yes first, figure it out later. So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I had to learn the song very quickly. And then Osric and I talked about it, and that really brought home what that song means to him and to the fans and to the rest of the cast. And that made it pretty special. Osric's a pretty special guy. I'm really happy that I get to spend as much time with him as I do.
We love Osric.
Yeah,
we love him too. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah. He's an incredible person. It was funny. Like, I had met him at the conventions, but only briefly during karaoke, because you're so busy at the conventions, you don't really get to – I don't really get to sit around and chat with people, sadly. And the karaoke is just kind of crazy, so it's not time to get to know each other. But he was in London, so we did get to hang out. And I remember we were going from a car to a train to Birmingham, and we were in the train station. There was a woman – I think she was blind, and she was sitting, and Osric just went up and approached her, and he was just like, is there anything I can do to help you right now? Is everything okay? And she had missed her ride, and so she needed to contact a ride, and he called somebody for her. And I was like, only Osric can find the person in the crowd in England who needs help and go and save them. Just scoop in and save them. And I was like, it was just the perfect epitome of like how special of a guy he is. And so I feel very lucky that I get to call him my friend. And it's the doing the autographs. The photo ops are very quick, and we get encouraged to make them quicker. So I don't really get a chance to chat with anybody during the photo ops, but I do get a couple of seconds during the autographs to chat with the fans. And when people tell me what the character that I get to portray means to them, it's very special, and it encourages me to just always be on top of my game and always be cognizant of what I'm doing and what what I'm putting out into the world. And so I find that those moments are pretty special too.
From Twitter, Princess Allie wants to know, what's your favorite part of playing Donna?
I really like getting encouraged to be funny. Sometimes it sounds really bad, but sometimes as a woman, I don't get to play the funny roles as much. And usually the men get all the funny parts, but it's so great. And Jared and Jensen, as we all know, are very funny. And they find their ways to be funny, even when they're not supposed to be, and that's what the gag reel is for. But it's pretty great when I get to be on set and I have my scene and I have my lines, and the director just goes, "Okay, just do what you do," and that's it. And so I think having the freedom to bring out. What me and my friends used to say is my comedy bones is pretty fun and pretty special, and I like that I have that outlet, I guess.
Susan, your turn. I feel like I'm taking up all the questions.
Sorry, I'm taking big pauses because there's a big gap in time, and I don't want to talk over you guys, so I just stop dead when I'm done answering.
That's perfect, because since we're all in three different locations, you know, we always have
exactly.
to wait, make sure we don't talk over somebody. So
exactly.
Well, speaking of Jared and Jensen, do you have any fun stories to share? Any joking around? Any trouble?
Yes. Oh, gosh. I don't know if you saw a tweet during Blush that Jared said, watch out for the gag reel. It's because they know that I can handle their shenanigans, so they lay it on thick. And I remember when we were shooting in Blush, the scene where they come to see me at the police station, I think it was our very first scene, is actually the last scene that we shot of the episode. And they just were relentless. When it's not their coverage, when the camera's not on them, they don't say anything remotely close to their actual line. Everybody needs to know that about them. They just screw around. And what they'll do is say a line. Jared especially is the worst. And Jared also laughs really hard at his own jokes, which is actually the thing that will break you, that will make you break. But Jared will say something close to his line. he'll if he's asking you a question, he'll ask you in the same frame so that your answer will remain the same, so that they'll keep rolling as long as you don't break. So he's given you, like, the ultimate, he's like, he's thrown the glove. Do you know what I mean? So he's the worst. And then every once in a while, you'll be shooting something, and they'll be setting up for another take, and you'll just hear Jensen go, "Do it in this scene. Do it in this take." And you're like, "Oh shit! Now I'm in for it." Like, you know, they plan this stuff, right? It's horrendous. I mean, they're very serious, and they're remarkable at, like, turning it off and turning it on, which is why they're, you know, giant superstars. But I remember saying to my husband when I was reading the script, I said, every single one of my scenes is with the two boys. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make it through these scenes. And I had to, like, really prepare myself because I didn't want to laugh. And Phil, actually, Segretia, he watches the dailies, and he sent me a text message after that last day of shooting. And he was like, "Hey, I watched the dailies of J&J screwing around with you. Good job at keeping a straight face." So, that's a good sign when the producer tells you, you did it. You made it through. So that was good. I don't know. I don't want to tell too much in case the really good stuff is on the gag reel, but there's plenty. Mm-hmm. They just, you know what? I have twin brothers, and so they're just like my brothers to me. And I told Jensen that. He's like, oh, that's why. He's like, that's why you can handle this. Is because I'm used to it. I grew up this way with just, like, people giving me wet willies. And they're exactly the same. They're just relentless. But we have a really good time together.
I love the little videos that you posted to your Twitter. Those were hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Jared with the weights. Jensen, Jared shot putting the football, and Jensen with the weights.
I don't know why he was doing that. They're just playing football, and they're both very good football play. Well, I don't know how they play, but they can throw a mean football. And then Jared's just like, I'm going to shot put this. but Jensen was funny. He was playing around with those props and their, you know, foam weights or whatever. I don't know what they're made of, but they were not real weights. And he was playing around with them. I said, oh, I was going to get a video of it. And he's like, okay, do it again. Like, he set himself up. He knew I was taking a video of it. They love it.
I love the picture of them as models as well.
Oh, yeah. You know what's really funny?
Awesome.
Is that I hadn't even started taking video. Because, again, that was the scene, our last scene together. So I was like, let's just, you know, take some photos. We hadn't taken many photos of each other throughout the shoot. And I was checking my phone because they were setting up for another shot. So I was on my phone, and I kind of had my phone, like, up, like, pointed away from me. And I look up, and Jensen is posing. And he was like, oh, are you not taking a photo of me right now? And I said, no, I'm checking my email. And he's like, okay. They're just so used to people taking photos of him that he was posing. Yeah, so that was good. And that's when I was like, okay, pose. Okay, new pose. Okay, new pose. Okay, new pose. And they were like, on it. They're on it. I have a bunch of them, but a lot of them are blurry. But those are the best ones. Yeah, they're in on it. Like, they love to screw around. There isn't much that they won't do. I mean, you don't want to – I know they're very famous people, and – they have a large following, and so I don't want to post anything that would embarrass them, but there isn't much that would embarrass them.
I gotta ask, did you guys, you or anybody else, cast crew, try on any of the masks from the episode, that bunny mask or anything?
Oh, I bet the crew did. I played around. I took some photos of the creepy photos of the clown mask, because that one we took, we filmed that in the asylum, the old Fairview Asylum, and that place is creepy. I got there, and I didn't start, my call time wasn't until late. It was like 6 o'clock or something at night, so it was dark when I got there, and I went in, and I was like, what is this place? And like, we shoot here all the time. It's super creepy. And they have crazy stories. Like one lady who was showing them around when they first started filming there, you know, years ago. She said, okay, and here's the stairwell where I got pushed. And they're
oh,
like,
man.
What? And she's like, yeah, I got pushed here and I turned around and nobody was there. I didn't want to go to the bathrooms where, like, the women's bathrooms for cast and crew were up because the trailers were pretty far from the scene. And so we were using just the actual Fairview bathrooms upstairs. And I wouldn't go to those bathrooms by myself because the hallways are also all dark. They don't turn on the lights unless you're using that room. And it's horrendous. It's so, even thinking about it, it's terrifying. So I took the mask and I took a couple pictures in some of the rooms. But I wouldn't go, you'll see the picture I posted. It's like in the doorway of the room because I did not want to go any further. There's some vibes going on in that place, man.
I don't blame you a bit. I'd have been pretty freaked out too. Just the masks themselves, especially that bunny mask, was like
the
so
bunny
creepy.
Mask, I know. I was talking
they
about
they were terrifying.
That, yesterday, yeah, it was, yeah, the bunny mask was the worst one for sure. But it was also the actor in the bunny mask because he was so still. He was brilliant. It was, I'm sure he was directed, but he played it perfectly and just not moving because that was the creepiest part because the bunny eyes just stared at you, right, with this dirty, bloody bunny mask on. Yeah, it was pretty creepy for sure. I saw those in the fitting, and I didn't see the only one that wasn't done yet was the deer mask. And so that one was pretty creepy too, but they were still building it when I was at my fitting. But I saw the clown mask and I thought that was enough. That was creepy enough. But I love the scene with Jared. It's so funny. He's so funny in that scene. It's great.
Oh, the clown fight. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Bother you? I mean, some people just hate them.
No, they don't bother me. Weird things bother me as I get older, I realize. So as I'm saying that, I go, I haven't seen a clown in a long time. I don't think I'd want to hug a clown anymore. But they don't, the thought of, I don't have a phobia of clowns or spiders or anything. Mm-hmm. None of those things do I want to spend a lot of time with. But I wouldn't say I'm scared of clowns or any of those masks. But I think it was a very interesting plot idea on the writer's part because it does activate a lot of phobias. And even if it doesn't, like I said, it is still really creepy, especially if put in the right scenario.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You tweeted about your stunt person and not, you know, you didn't end up meeting her. Can you tell us about filming that scene?
Yeah, it was just funny because I knew, I had seen the call sheet, knew that there was a stunt person called and she and I had met and we were chatting and whatever and they got her all dressed up and then we took some pictures because I thought it's so weird. I've never had a stunt person before. And she did look, they had her done to look a lot like me. She was wearing a wig and, you know, she's not a curvy gal, so they had her kind of padded. And I thought it was so crazy. So we got all these pictures taken. And then next thing you know, the scene is wrapped. But, I mean, I don't know what they had wanted to do. I don't know. Maybe they just have, sometimes they have actors that don't want to do anything risky at all. I fell a lot in that scene, you know. But the gentleman who was under the bunny mask was a stunt person, and he knew how to hit me, and we did it at the same time every time. And then Lou, who's in charge of stunts, he kept coming up to me going, you okay? You okay? He's like, you don't have to fall that hard. He's like, do you want a mat? Do you want to wear something? The only thing that was hurting was my hand. I kept landing in the same way on my hand on the concrete, and it was getting a little scraped up because, you know, you have to do it 15 times. But, yeah, it was bizarre to be able to go, I did my own stunts, but all I really did was fall a lot, which I guess in TV is for a stunt person to do because they know how to do it in a way that it doesn't affect them physically at all, where I for sure was like, my hand hurt for the rest of the day, but not such a big deal.
It was back in second season, Jared actually fell wrong in a scene and broke his wrist. So.
Oh, well, that maybe is why they called him the stunt person. They didn't want that happening.
Yeah, I guess that's exactly why. And but Lou is really amazing because he would constantly come and check on me. Like, how are you falling? How did that feel that time? He's like, I see you're falling hard here. The camera's not on you. You don't have to fall hard. Just crouch down. So that kind of stuff is useful because then you don't wear yourself out, right? So I like that kind of stuff. I'm a fairly, you know what's funny is that I do this in theater too. If I'm playing a big, loud, crazy character, I will throw myself around the stage because it feels like something that I should do. And after the show's done, I'll have bruises everywhere. And you go, oh, yeah, I'm not a cartoon. I always have to remind myself I'm not a cartoon. Because I'm such a physical person. I love throwing myself around. Even in that part where I'm lifting up, I'm trying to lift the bunny out of the wheelchair. It was my idea to fall down. And then Tim did another take. He's like, don't fall in this take. And then we cut and he came back and he's like, okay, it's better if you fall. And I'm like, right, it's a better button. It's a better button. But I just love falling. I don't know why. I'm such a physical person. And so it's weird for them to be like, we'll bring in a stunt person to do the fall. I'm like, no, the fall's the best part. My bit. Okay, my husband's texting me right now to go saying that they are coming in. So do you want to do one or two more questions?
Sure, that sounds good. I have one, and then Susan, you can do the last one. How's that?
Okie dokie.
Okay, my last question will be, what has been, out of all three episodes, what has been your very favorite scene to shoot?
I think it's scene in the Impala, where in Hibbing 911, where Kim and I get into the Impala to go to the vampire lair. It's because it was the first time I'd been in the Impala, and I think Kim too, and we were so excited. We fully fangirled. We were just so excited. And then Jared and Jensen, I think it was the first scene with all four of us too, and Jared and Jensen were screwing around, and Kim's really funny too. Just like a fun time when it's the four of us on set. We just screw around a lot. And it's also even, do you know what I mean? There's
right.
two of them, there's two of us. Like, it's all matched up. So I think that was a pretty good time. Trying to think of all the scenes in Plush. I've only seen Plush, well, I've seen it twice now, frankly, but it's not enough for me to remember the good times. Oh, and the donut scene, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The donut scene was great because that wasn't written into the script. That was Phil's idea, and he pitched it to me in the fitting, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Anything that's going to get a laugh, I'll fully do. But the boys were not prepared for how much I would throw myself into eating that donut. I ate the donut in the rehearsal, and they're like, whoa, you just went right for it. And I was new. I didn't want to get in trouble. I was like, am I not supposed to? Am I not supposed to be doing that? And it ended up looking so funny, and it was really fun to do, and the crew laughed so hard, and all I want to do is, like, my job appropriately and well and make people laugh. So that was good.
Mm-hmm. You definitely succeeded.
Thank
yes.
you. Thanks, guys.
My question is, we love having you on Supernatural and we love Donna, but is there any other work, let us know about?
Yeah, I have a couple things. It's so funny when people always ask me, I'm always like, no, I'm just hanging out because I'm also my daughter's primary parent. So I feel like that's my full-time job, and acting I do on the side, but it's actually been very busy lately, which I'm very grateful for. I'm actually in the writer's room for a series called White Ninja, which is actually a very dark comic based on a comic. It's dark, dark comedy, and it's going to be distributed on Vine. It's the first Vine. My daughter. It's the first Vine series, and so we are premiering that at the Whistler Film Festival, which is very exciting.
And Paul Scheer is voicing White Ninja, and he's from the League, and he's in Wet Hot American Summer, and he's an amazing comedic actor, and super excited about that, because I also, it's the first time being in a professional writer's room and being able to write comedy as opposed to perform it, so that's exciting, and I hope to do more of that. And Ryan Curtis, from Weirdo Hero fame, also used to do VFX on Supernatural. He asked me to star in his next short film, which we just won the Story Hive competition for, so we are fully funded, and I think we're going to shoot that in January. I think January, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
very
so
cool.
Lots of good stuff coming up, yeah. I'm very excited mm-hmm. about this stuff. And those are projects that I don't, because as an actor, when you're doing just random auditions, you get them, you know, you get an audition. I could get an audition Monday night that I would have to do on Tuesday. Like I would get the sides and then I would work, you know, the following week. So you never know what comes up, but those are the projects I know that are coming up that I've been, you know, pretty heavily involved in that I'm really excited about.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you were able to join us tonight. It's been so much fun.
Oh, it is my pleasure, you guys. Anytime, honestly. I love to. You've listened to me rambled on for 45 minutes here. I love rambling. You ask me to ramble anytime you want.
Yes,
I'm
but
a
it
rambler.
Was fun and
I'm
interesting rambling.
Yay.
I'm a rambler from way back, so all good.
That's funny.
Okay, well, you guys stay in touch. You guys let me know if you need anything else. You know where to find me. And anybody else who's listening, if you have any more questions, feel free to ask me on Twitter.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you so
well,
much,
enjoy Brianna. Enjoy the rest of your podcast, and I can't wait to meet you
Thank
guys.
You.
Okay,
Thank
you take
you.
Care.
Thank
Okay,
you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you,
bye. No problem.
Okay,
bye.
Well, she's fantastic, just like I knew she would be.
No. She was so much fun. And I would not call her a rambling. I mean, I just thought she was a storyteller, very entertaining and very interesting.
Yes, I thought she, yeah.
No, I would not say rambling at all.
Great answers, great stories. I could listen to her all night. She's awesome.
Yes. Great stuff. And busy. Now it's on to her episode, her third episode, Plush. I wouldn't really talk about, I think, well, now I think of it, but two out of three of her episodes were written by the same people, which I thought was interesting. And kind of a...
I think once the, you know, writers, you know, they have a, you know, a recurring character, they tend, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, Robbie Thompson did with Charlie. I think, you know, a lot
mm-hmm.
of the writers like to stick with their own characters, which I think is pretty cool because they know the character
yeah.
best, you know, so.
Yeah. And she did survive. And
I
hope Donna comes back again.
Yeah. I wish she was on every week. I think she's awesome. I should watch her. I could watch the story. You know, she should have her own spinoff. I would watch, you know, like, you know, her own cop story show. I would watch that.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Sheriff Donna. And you know, we could maybe let Doug put 2.0 on. He seems so far.
Yeah,
yeah. Pretty good.
They could be the new Mulder and Scully.
Kind of the Midwestern Minnesota Mulder.
Exactly.
Yes, that expression, the tater tots and lemon drops, just when I heard it in the episode, I'm like, where did that come from?
I know. I love it. I'm going to have to use it all the time. I love it.
So it's funny because I'm sure.
I like the episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they meant lemon drops as in the candy, but there's also a drink called the lemon drop.
Right,
a
right.
Potent drink called a lemon drop. So I don't know, maybe Donna meant both of them, you know?
What I like about it is usually when you hear a saying like that, it's all like, you know, sweets, you know, like lollipops and lemon drops or, you know, something. I liked it with tater tots and lemon drops because I'm like, there you go, tater tots. You're talking to me now. That's perfect.
Yes. Tater tots, we love them. Tater tots. Okay, so you liked the episode.
I did. It had a whole, first three season feel to it, you know, when it was just Sam and Dean on the road fighting the monster of the week. I liked that. I thought it was pretty cool. Just because the scene is showing right now, I have to mention it. Bruce Blaine was on it playing the coach. We follow him on Twitter. He's awesome. He's also was the bartender in season 8 finale that Cupid put came and put him and the guy delivering the beverages matched him up. That was Bruce Blaine, the actor, playing the coach here. So, you know, looking quite a bit different than he did in that episode. His hair much shorter and everything, but it was very cool to see him again. And I have to say, I mentioned this on Twitter when the sneak peek clip came out, but finally, after this is the 11th season, finally, Sam and Dean are using Def Leppard aliases. I was so excited to hear Agents Elliot and Savage. I was like, yes, finally.
Yeah, I think they used, I think, Guns N' Roses, I think, once. That's my band. But it was it took them a while. But it took them too long for Def Leppard because they've even had, like, songs from Def Leppard on the show.
Yeah, Def Leppard music's been on the show at least 3 times that I can remember. So, you know, it was like, when I've heard them say Elliot and Savage, I was like, no way, finally, yay!
I know. And do we mention Eric Tormello and Nicole Snyder wrote this episode? And they also wrote The Purge. Or was it just Eric that wrote The Purge? Anyway.
They usually write together, but I'm not sure.
Usually. Yeah. So they did that, and Tim Andrew directed and did a good job. That, like you said, it was like it went back to, you know, had a first, second season feel to it, kind of monster of the week, ghost story, vengeful spirit. I love seeing, like, the salt circle and then the ghost with the, they don't like the iron and the salt pellets, which is so much fun.
We had a salt and burn in it again, you know, with them burning all the things.
Yeah.
The salt circle, we saw the EMS meter, you know, it was like all the old timey stuff, you know. I'm so glad to get just a good old fashioned ghost possession. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yes. And it was Sam and Dean, you know, Sam and Dean on the road to a case, even if, you know, it was like they were called by someone they knew to come help out in a case who recognized it as something strange. And it was just Sam and Dean on the road. I mean, we got a teensy smidge of this related things. It was actually bookends to the episode. We had a little bit at the beginning, and then they had the case, that was it, and then they had the end. There wasn't a lot of Sam and Dean in the middle part of the episode. I mean, they were there, they worked together, but mostly if they were joking with Donna or somebody else, which I just realized I kind of missed that. I mean, it wasn't,
I didn't even notice it. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think about it. So right now I'm like, wait a minute. They didn't really have a whole lot of interaction. And I mean, they made dorky jokes and, you know, Sam looked disapproving, you know, and then made his own dorky jokes, you know, for Roger Rabbit. And Dean just kind of looks at him, you know, so that was fun. It was, there was a little bit back and forth. Costumes were so creepy. I mean, the creepiest of all was the bunny, the rabbit head. Brianna talked about, I mean, the actor, and he didn't do anything, but he didn't have to. I mean, just, he was so still and then the bunny head itself, and it was just staring and staring. It just freaked me out, you know. It's just like, yikes. And it was freakier because it didn't say anything, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think that bunny may be the creepiest monster of the week they've ever had on the show. It was creepy.
And
like
they had some creepy monsters.
Yes. When they show the scene where it's just sitting down at the end of the jail, you know, the jail cell all by itself, and just sitting
mm-hmm.
there. And
mm-hmm.
creepy. And then it jumps up real quick and grabs onto Dean. And, oh, so scary.
It was really, really creepy. And the deer head was creepy, and the jester was pretty creepy, but I think it wasn't as creepy as the bunny head or even the deer. The deer kind of freaked me out, especially because it was on his kid. You know, it looked really strange being on a young kid instead of an adult. And
right.
the clown, that was a nasty looking clown. I mean, and I don't have a clown phobia. They don't bother me at all.
Yeah.
If
I was a
but
parent
that was creepy.
And I had If I was a parent who had paid for that clown to come to my kid's birthday party, I would have asked for my money back because that was a poor-looking clown.
Yeah, it was really awful-looking. And let's talk about that scene when poor Sam, you know, in every nightmare, and he is face down, you name it. I mean, everything from things like a Wendigo to Lucifer. And it's the clowns that get him. You know, you can just tell. Look on his face. You know, the doors open, and there's a clown, and he gets in the elevator. And he doesn't, like an elevator, you get in, and then everybody turns around and faces the doors. And then the clown just turned around to stare at Sam, and that's even worse.
You're right.
Yeah. But,
so good.
You know, he didn't let it get the best of him. He ends up fighting him, you know, thank goodness. And all that. But just the look on his face, Jared played it so well. You know, he's like, it's like Indy, you know, clowns. Why does it have to be clowns?
I have to say, I love seeing Bridget Branagh on the show. I haven't seen her in a while.
Mm-hmm.
She was the sister of the ghost. My favorite role of hers, she was on Angel. In the second season, she was Wesley's girlfriend for a few episodes. And she was on quite a few episodes of CSI as well, played the same character on CSI a few times. But I loved her from Angel, so it was great seeing her on Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did a great job. That was a difficult role, you know. I mean, to think that about your own brother and then let those guys, like she shouldn't have let them do that, you know. She should have talked to her brother
right.
herself. And I know she was thinking of her son and he should be her priority, but, I mean, and she should have talked to her son too. You know, I mean, he was old enough to have a discussion with, I think. It's not like he was maybe 2 or 3. What was he, like 12 maybe, at least?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right, Max. Yeah, I mean, she could have had a conversation with him as well. And then, you know, they end up, I mean, they didn't plan on killing him, but her brother died. And, you know, I'm guessing that he was just maybe an odd person, an unusual person, but probably not guilty of what they were accusing him of. I impression, did you think he was that he
yeah,
was that way, or
I
did you think
I,
he?
I don't think he was. What made me think that he was not what they were accusing him of was how much Max was saying he was not. You know, I think they
mm-hmm.
would have made Max more afraid, not so adamant about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was Max the kid's name? I don't remember.
Max,
for some reason,
yeah.
I'm saying it was Max. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what made me think he definitely was not.
Yeah, and he seemed pretty well adjusted. I mean, he was sad because
mm-hmm.
he missed his uncle and all that, but he seemed pretty well adjusted and a good kid. So I'm guessing I'm guessing like his uncle Chester, that was his name, was just you know, maybe eccentric or different and whatever, but was not guilty of any of those things. So,
right.
Oh, and I know it wasn't meant to be funny, but every time I saw it, I would laugh. Is Sam running out of their house with the deer head in his hand? It just made me laugh. He just went crazy running with that deer head. And then I just pictured like gag reel stuff, you know, I don't know, but it was very funny. And then, of course, oh, God, and then he and Dean both get thrown around and knocked out again.
The concussions of the week.
Yeah. I mean,
and,
it's like
you
once
know,
a week.
But gets to me,
so.
You know, he was knocked unconscious but was awake really quick. But, you know, you got to think they've been, you know, poor, especially Sam has been hit in the head and thrown around and so many times. It doesn't take much to knock him unconscious anymore. You know, just basically a tap
no.
on the head would probably put him out.
That's right. You know, one good pillow fight and he's done, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course,
the
it
VFX
wasn't TV.
The VFX I thought in this episode were fantastic. I loved the ghost when you know they would shot it with the shot pellets or touched it with the iron.
Mm.
And, you know, the VFX of the ghost leaving the body I thought was so cool.
Mhm. Yeah. And burning the buddy head in the woods, that looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the fire in the middle of the woods, that looked really neat. I think when Donna, Sam, and Dean are in the jail cell, and Sam and Dean have a pretty good idea that it's a ghost, you know, or a vengeful spirit, so they come prepared. Actually, they're probably usually prepared for almost anything, but anyway, Dean, in jail, in a police station, sheriff's station, pulls out a shotgun and shoots the prisoner. Nobody comes in.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I'm like, really?
That's, you know,
crazy.
Donna and Sam, you know, they both plugged their ears, you know, with their fingers, you
mm-hmm.
know, so, sure, what, you know, where
but they
were
know
the other cops?
I mean,
they
know.
You know,
it's okay.
Was it?
They're the only ones.
Was it late at night that Donna was the only one on, you know, on staff at the time? You know, where was everybody?
Yeah, and there was nobody else in the jail because you didn't hear any reactions from any other prisoners. I mean, I suppose he could have been the only one there because he was, you know, he'd killed someone, so maybe they had him like some kind of like solitary cell or whatever, but pulling a shotgun out like that and doing that and not have all the other sheriffs come running. I mean, yeah,
that would have been really loud. Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a crazy moment. And my other moment, this episode was bookended by Sam praying and talking about praying and Dean thinking that Sam is basically wasting his time praying. So they have this discussion and at the beginning and then at the end, Sam decides, perhaps because of things he heard Rita saying, you know, she said, I should have talked to him. Fear cripples you and makes you do things that you're going to regret or whatever. So maybe Sam thinks, well, I should tell Dean. And they've been both of them been pretty good. I mean, better than usual about talking about things with each other. So
mm-hmm.
Sam says to Dean, if it is God, he's showing me something that I don't know what to do with. And Dean says, what? And Sam says, the cage. And then Dean says, Lucifer's cage? And I'm like, really? You know, Dean, really? What other cage would it be? Seriously?
Right.
Dean, either he was like hoping that Sam meant some other kind of cage. You know, it's like you kind of want to deny it. And sometimes like you know the answer, but you ask anyway because you need a minute to process things or think about things. That's the only thing I agree with, because otherwise I'm like, really? Sam says the cage and you say Lucifer's cage? Like, no. Team, no. But again, you know, aside from being, you know, thinking maybe it was a shark cage or a tiger cage or some other kind of cage, I like that they're talking about it. I like that it's back. I love that the swan song and storyline and everything. So I am glad to hear them bringing it up and talking about it. And I'm glad Sam told him, because he doesn't know what to do. He keeps getting his visions. They're becoming, I think they're becoming more and more detailed and more clear to Sam. I think every time we see him, we see more. And I'm glad he's telling Dean. Dean doesn't really want to hear it. He says, you know, you know better than anyone, that's suicide. And that is not happening. So he's not going to tolerate anything to do with the cage. And Sam said, okay, but he still looks worried. Do you think that Sam's going to go back to the cage or have to deal with it somehow?
I think whether Sam actually has to go to the cage or not, I don't know. But I think they're definitely going to have to do something with it. They're going to have to, you know, either figure a way to get somebody out or some information out, one or the other.
Yeah, or is, you know, who's ever in the cage be let out, escape, something?
Either somebody or something is coming out, and
we had you know, Matt Cohen as, you know, John Winchester or something who looked like John Winchester. And we talked about it and said, he said, I never could fool you, which is something Lucifer always said to Sam. So he's reaching out somehow, but I don't know if he'll physically return, because, you know, he might do it again to save the world, but I don't think Dean would let him. Not a second time, you know, not a second time.
No,
because Dean didn't get him out the first time. So, yeah. We got started talking and I forgot to read out our guest call-in number, but we have a call-in anyway. So good for them finding it on their own. And I'm going to let them on. And the call-in number, if you also have a question or a comment about Plush, is 347-205-9801. But we do have a caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh my gosh, I'm Katie.
Hi.
Really love Supernatural, and on the episode with you and the rabbit, I mean, what was it like? Literally, like almost getting killed by the rabbit.
Brianna's not on right now. She left a little bit ago. She's not on the air with us right now. You can listen to her whole podcast with her on it. After our podcast, it'll play in the entirety, and you can also download her from iTunes tomorrow. Sorry you missed her.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. And so, if you have a question about the episode for us, We'd
love to talk about it with you.
All right. Do you think Lucifer is going to come back?
I hope so. That's my hope, because I love Lucifer and I love Mark Pellegrino, and I would love to see that happen. Not sure if it will, but I'd love for it to happen. What about you?
I definitely love Mark, and when I saw when Sam was having the visions in the cage, I thought it was definitely Mark. But then again, they bring back Mark. They almost got bring back the actor who plays Michael.
Right, Matt Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah, seeing him back in the baby episode.
Yeah. So, for the bunny mask, I'm just wondering, how did they actually, like, was it cost to him, or did they, like, had to make it paper mache style?
I think we retweeted a picture, actually. I just retweeted a picture a few minutes ago on our Winchester Bros account. If you want to check it out, it was from the costume department trying on some different heads. It's actually from, like, Easter Bunny costumes, the heads were. And Brianna said during the podcast that it was a stunt man who was wearing the head during the episode.
Cool. Because the best part was when Sam was in the elevator and that clown was there.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that
scene.
That was good.
That was funny.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I was laughing so hard, and I was like, wow, Sam's back with his clown buddies again.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I saw a lot of fans tweet that, you know, thanks a lot, Supernatural, because they were going to have, like their worst nightmares ever.
Definitely. I saw a post that Jared actually had clowns at his third, when he was 3 years old, at his third birthday party. But
yeah,
I don't know.
I want to know how
is this Jared is fine with clowns in real life, but Sam is not. I mean, it's,
you know, and he does a great job of showing Sam as being afraid of clowns. But it's probably good that Jared isn't. He might have a tougher time in those scenes.
Yeah, that's my first thought. But what happens if Jared is really indeed afraid of clowns and he's like, and with Sam combining?
That would be a good question. I don't know. They may not write in as many clown things. If he was actually afraid of them, they might not write in so many.
Mm.
Just, you know, just to make sure they don't freak him out too much.
All right, and here's my last question. Who are you going to have on next time?
We don't have a guest scheduled for the next episode. We usually don't know, till the week of, you know, we're like, oh, this person's going to be on. That might, you know, we try to ask. But sometimes, you know, we know ahead of time. Sometimes we don't. So right now we don't have anybody scheduled. It'll just be me and Susan and Vinny talking about the episode.
We have a good time.
I hope, we do enjoy talking about Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have, let me see, two or three more episodes this year. I think two.
Oh, my gosh.
I think two more until, Christmas break.
Yeah, no new episode this week because of the holiday. And then I think the next one's December 2nd. And then the half season finale is December 9th, I believe.
The December 2nd episode looks like it's going to be a good one. The Imaginary Friend, that'll be a good one, I think. Directed by Richard Spate Jr.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I wonder how if anybody can handle Supernatural and the Supernatural gang, it's Richard Spate.
Yeah, and one of my friends really wants to know if season 12 has been really announced, because everyone's just saying yes, there's a season 12, but other people are saying no. So is season 12?
It has not been announced yet. Jim Michaels, he tweeted the other day, you know, like, it's not been announced. As soon as it is, they will let us know. Usually, television doesn't announce renewals until the spring. Usually, it's like in May. Sometimes we have gotten lucky and they announce it in February sometimes. But you know, right now there's not been any news yet. We have to wait till maybe May, but we might be able to find out in February.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. We've been lucky. They've announced early the past few seasons, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's been nice all around, because then Supernatural, the writers and everything get to plan, you know, how they're going to finish the season or leave a cliffhanger or whatever and think about the following season. So it's nice for everybody
If I was a betting person, I would bet that there would be a season 12, because a show that's been on this long, I think CW would announce, you know, they would say, you know, have a big final season thing going, like Smallville did, you know, with their final
mm-hmm.
season. You know,
yeah.
So if
and
I was
Mark
a betting
Penowitz
person.
Is a big fan. Mark Penowitz,
yes.
The head of the CW, is a big fan, and he's very appreciative and respectful of Supernatural. So, I, like you said, I think if it was the final season, they would have been forewarned far ahead, so they could make a big deal out of it being the final season. And I'm really enjoying season 11. So, I mean, you know, I'm good if they're good. You know, I mean, it's amazing, season 11, but I'm okay if they come back.
Same with me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, overall, I've really enjoyed, in varying degrees,
yeah.
Seven episodes of season 11. I mean, you know, I adored Baby. I mean, the fourth episode, Baby, I just, love, 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 loved it. And then, you know, there's a couple of them. I'm like, well, it was fine. But, you know.
So did I, especially when Dean was mm-hmm. fighting the monster and Kaz was just talking on the phone. He's like, Dean, are you there? Dean, are you there?
That was good. Yeah, that was good.
That was good. I like that.
At least we know a baby can actually kill monsters with the Winchesters.
That's right. Yeah, she's a hunter too.
Definitely.
Oh, any other questions for us, Katie?
No. It's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Hope you listen in next time.
Yeah, I'm sorry you missed Brianna, but if you want, you can listen to the podcast and enjoy her. She was a great guest.
All right.
Thanks, Katie.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
We call her?
Yeah, she was very nice. Hopefully
sorry, she missed Brianna.
The podcast.
Yeah.
You know, there was something that came in my head about Plush while we were talking to Katie, and now I need to think of it. At the very beginning, when we see Sam praying in his room, and Dean's going by and he stops in and he kind of makes a comment, as we knew he would because we know what he's thinking of Sam praying, I kind of wondered why Sam hadn't closed the door. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I know
the
script was for him to find it, but I was like, well, why didn't you close the door? And also seeing that Sam prays out loud. I mean, I know he does it,
yeah.
You know, the character does it for the show, but it's interesting that Sam prays out loud. It's okay. I mean, sometimes you have to say stuff out loud. I talk to myself, you know, and whatever, but it's an interesting decision for Sam to do that.
Right. And I did like, you know, Dean's comment, if you want privacy, you should close the door. And I'm like, yeah, exactly, Sam. Come on.
Yeah. And in his room, and you know, Dean's obviously right down the hall, so it's not going to be unusual that Dean would be walking by, and possibly Cass as well, because isn't he in and out of the bunker? Right? I mean,
I don't know where Cass. I don't know where he is right now. I don't know. You know, he's not in
either,
Sam's room watching. He's not in there watching Netflix at the moment. So I don't know.
Well, that's true. course, you know, he left to go look for Metatron, but he's obviously still a welcome guest. I mean, Sam mentions him and says, you know, this is all the war that Cass found on the darkness and blah, blah. So, I mean, anyway, my point is that it could have been him as well, you know, wandering by the door. Has he told Cass that he's praying, having visions, thinking about God being around? I mean, we know Cass is not a huge fan of God either lately, so just interesting being an angel.
If he has, they haven't shown it.
Yeah. You know, the lore is in Aramaic.
Yeah,
they could really use Kevin. Yeah,
right.
I'm surprised Sam can't read Aramaic. I'm surprised Cass can't read Aramaic, or maybe he can, and he hasn't translated it yet because
we need Bobby back. Bobby, I believe, could read it.
Yeah, that'd be really cool if they went to find a way to see Bobby again and say, we need your help translating this, or, you know, or something. But I would imagine there are other Aramaic scholars, but not ones they could trust to talk about this kind of situation with them, that's for sure. That'd be really cool. Be a good way to get Bobby back.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, another thing, darn, I wish I'd mentioned it while Brianna was on, but I love that they like Donna. Donna likes them. She's appreciative of them and the work that they do, you know, and she's glad to see them when they come to town, and she hugs them. I mean, I think Sam and Dean could use a little bit of that, you know. I mean, it's just nice to see.
Yeah, I love the big hug she gives them. She's so happy to see them.
I like
Dean when he answers the phone. Hey, Donna, what's shaking? I like that.
Yep. Notice there was an opinion out there that when Dean says it's Donna, and Sam goes, "Fat sucker, Donna." And I think you can kind of take that a couple of ways, but I don't think Sam meant it in a bad way. I think he was just thinking that was the monster they fought when they first met Don.
Right, right. The fish taco.
You know, yeah. The fish taco. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not surprised that Sam and Dean would identify people they know by the associated case or monster.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it didn't bother me to think about it at the time because I don't think he was accusing her of anything. Donna, to me, Donna's beautiful. She looks great, you know. And Brianna too.
And Brianna,
gorgeous.
Brianna in real life, oh my gosh, she's hot, she's sexy. And, she is gorgeous. That's one of the things I was wanting to ask her. Darn, I'll have to tweet her. I wanted to ask her what hair products she uses because it's always so wavy and pretty. And when I try, you know, I have curly hair, but when I let it try and do that, it just gets frizzy and fuzzy. So I was wanting to ask her, what hair products do you use? But yep, I love Brianna. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I look.
She's got dark
eyes.
You
need to come to You need to come to NashCon, Susan.
I know, so I can see you and I can see Brianna.
Yes.
No one else matters. You and Brianna.
No, that's exactly right.
That's right. Anything else about this episode?
I can't think of anything. I think we covered it between everything we talked about with Brianna and then everything on her own. I think we pretty much covered it all.
I think so, too.
Want to mention our web Our website is currently down. We are renovating the website. It's going to look brand new and very cool, and it'll take a little bit of time to get it all ready, but we're very excited about the new look that it's going to have. So just be patient. WinchesterBros.com will be back soon. And in the meantime, you know, we're still going to give you all the news and information on Supernatural through our Twitter and on our Facebook.
Yep. I'm very excited. It's going to look so cool when it's all done.
Me too. I can't wait.
Yeah. Very
Lisa,
nice.
Lisa's working hard on it.
Yeah. Is that it? I mean, we already mentioned that no new episode this week because it's a Thanksgiving holiday in the United States. If you celebrate, happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners, Supernatural fans celebrating this week. Hope you have a good turkey day. And then two more new episodes of Supernatural for 2015. And then we'll go on a kind of a hiatus. So I don't know, late January, I guess. So,
the winter hiatus.
Yeah, and, you know, we have at least, well, part of the time we'll have Christmas or the holidays to distract us, and then we'll be stuck slogging through winter January waiting for Supernatural to come back. Any other business news, notes, anything?
Jim Beaver has a Represent shirt for sale right now. He brought back his past shirt that he has. It says "Family Don't End in Blood." You can find that on his Twitter page and his Facebook page. I have one of them. They're very cool. Jared's ended. I think his recent one ended. He brought it back for a few hours, but then it ended. And I think they sold way over 45,000 shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And
I saw three different numbers, and they were all in the neighborhood of 46,000. It was like 45,998, and then I saw 46,001. So I know it's like somewhere, but it's definitely around there somewhere, which is amazing and very cool. So. Good going, Jared. I really liked the shirt. I mean, I'm usually not one for faces on T-shirts. I'm not usually one for faces on T-shirts. I mean, I love that face. I love Jared's face. I love Jared's face. I love Jensen's face. But I just don't usually like faces on T-shirts, so I was happy to see this one that just had the design and the words and all that. So, anyway, if I have to complain, it's not really a complaint, it's a wish, really. I wish they would have other things besides shirts. And one time they had iPhone cases and tote bags, and that was it. And then they didn't even have any kids' sizes this time, which I think they do often as well. But I don't know why. I don't know if it's something to do with the company or the rights or whatever. But
Jared mentioned on his Facebook page, was it a couple of days ago, he mentioned that he was going to try and live video that night. He's going to announce something special for Black Friday. But then he posted again that they were still filming and he would try to get the video out today. But you know, I'm sure he's busy again today. But apparently he's going to be doing something for Black Friday. So.
Okay. Well, maybe they'll just open up the campaign again for 24 hours. So, which would be cool. So if you missed it this time, or were thinking, hey, oh my gosh, I need another Christmas present for a fan on my list, you'll have another chance.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's it. Right?
Sounds good to me. I'm going to get back to my Jessica Jones binge. I've been hooked on that this weekend on Netflix. It's so good.
Cool. I have to catch up on Doctor Who. So
yeah, my DVR is recording Doctor Who right now. So.
Yep. Well, thank you. Thank you to everybody who listened tonight. Thank you so much to the beautiful and talented and fun Brianna Buckmaster, who was our guest tonight for almost an hour. She was fantastic. We really appreciate her coming on. And
thanks to Katie for calling in.
Yep. And that's it. Thanks for a fun podcast. And then we'll talk to everybody in a couple of weeks. And we'll let the boys take us out. Good night, everyone.
Hey, I'm Jared Padalecki.
And this is Jensen Ackles.
And you're listening to Winchester Radio.
And this is Jensen Ackles, and you're listening to Winchester Radio.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.